This is PCJ Radio International.
On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is Media Network Plus.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the program. I'm Keith Parent. Now, just imagine it. You're traveling in Europe, and you decide to go to a country that borders Russia and Latvia. Well, I'm talking about Estonia. You have a radio with you, you turn it on, and you decide to scan up and down the dial. Well, this is what you might hear.
Pea igal kontserdil võib nüüd kuulda, kus lauldakse kodumaiste heliloojate loomingut. Kui te mõtlete valgre laulude peale, missugune on teie arust võib-olla see kõige-kõige valgrem?
No võib-olla siis Uno Loobi esituses Pühapäev Kadri. Ma siia jään, saare naine.
Jätkame tervitustega, 11.20 näitab kell.
SMS on meile saabunud ja siia kirjutatud järgmised read. Soovin õnnitleda.
Welcome to another hour.
Hello?
Of pure music power.
This is Spinner Fan.
Radio Uno.
See on Raadios Kallus. Võib vist juba praegu öelda, et tegemist on aasta enim tähelepanu saanud lauluga. Siin oli Daft Punk koos Pharrell Williamsiga ja Get Lucky. Kuid tuletan teile meelde, et täna jõuab Raadios Kallus eetrisse ka saade, kus kõik laulud ühtmoodi head tähelepanu saavad. Ja see saade on soovi saade, mis algab meie eetriski.
Prašiai s vami do sledujših vyhodnih. Būti zdarovi.
Ruskaja radio. Tartu. 101 i 2 FM.
Radio 2.
Kordan, Toompead rünnatakse.
Tule taevas appi.
Mul on kahjutama vabandas,
mis väga hästi välja ei paista.
Olukorrast riigis.
Tere head pühapäeva kõigile, alustame saadet Olukorrast riigis stuudios on.
Aga nüüd, 40 minutit järjest. Poweri non-stop muusika.
40 minutit järjest.
Well, that's sort of a little sampling of what you would hear in Estonia if you were there right now with a radio. It's a fascinating place. It's not a very big population. It's just over 1 million people, and that's from a 2013 estimate. It is 17,413 square kilometers. It first got independence on February 24th, 1918. And then there was the Soviet occupation, then the Nazi occupation, then the second Soviet occupation, until they got independence again on August 20th, 1991. When communism collapsed in Eastern Europe, there was a major change. First of all, the advent of commercial radio. That's right, commercial radio. Privately owned radio. Long gone were the state-controlled big broadcasters. Of course, programming changed. And Estonia is a good example of this. Because of all the Eastern European countries, it's one of the few out there that don't have, let's say, the problems that, let's say, Ukraine is having, or even Russia. So the country has been doing quite well. The radio scene is also interesting, as you probably gathered. Now, I know some of you are thinking, wait a second, I was expecting Estonian to sound like a Slavic language. Well, it's not. It's based on the same language as Finnish, hence the reason why they actually sound the same, even though they are two very distinctive languages. To find out a little bit more about what the radio scene is like in Estonia, we decided to contact Tarmo Tanilso. He's a regular contributor to the PCJ Radio Facebook page.
Now, if I had sent you the Latvian stations, I can pick up over here. I live about 19 kilometers from the Valmiera transmitting station, so I can get 3 or 4 stations. Now, they sound more like Slavic languages, but yes, Estonian indeed sounds more like Finnish.
Now, what is the main form of delivery in Estonia for radio? Is it FM, medium wave, or what about digital?
FM and digital was dead on arrival. They tried it a few years in Tallinn, the DAB system, but it didn't catch on, thankfully, in my opinion, because, I live in a climate where there is quite a bit of bad weather. And during winters, if a power goes out, at least I can listen to the good old FM radio and the batteries will last. Try doing that on DAB, at least in the past.
Would you think it was also because DAB radios are more expensive?
They were then very expensive, and I think that might have been one of the nails.
Now, you said there's only one medium wave station in the country. You said it's a religious station. When did medium wave start to be phased out in Estonia?
Well, the peak switch off was in 1998, when the public broadcaster pulled out, and that's around the time we started abandoning also the 4-meter band. That was used in the Soviet Union, and this is still used in Russia. Just last night, they picked up some Russian station on 4-meter, so there was some propagation. But it's been right now there is indeed only one station remaining. That's Russian language religious station, and even they are more of a targeting abroad. For example, their license class is international.
But their license is international, but they mainly have probably a domestic audience, right?
Seems they are aiming more international. They even have, for example, on their website, they have this reception map of where the signal has been picked up. So I guess indeed, perhaps that is a bit more of an international operation.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be called Tartusko Esimene Radio, but now it's called Radio Eli.
Now, the radio stations in Estonia, are they all part of, say, the same government network, or are they commercial and privately owned stations?
There are some public stations and there are some private stations. Obviously, the samples I sent you are of those what I can generally pick up on the air. There are some local stations in some area, but there are also some bigger private networks. For example, Star FM, for example, Sky Plus, they are a bigger network, private network. And there are also some there are also some Russian language broadcasters, both public. There is Radio Chitory, Radio 4, and then there are a few private Russian language broadcasters as well. In my area, it's one public, one private. Then there are these smaller stations which are more local. For example, I can myself, if I point antenna well, I can pick up 100.7 Radio Marta. That's a local radio for Põlva region. Then Radio Route 96.6 or Root FM, that is in Valga. Mm-hmm. Pärnu has a station, Saaremaa has a station. Only we here in Tartu don't. These local stations have gone out of business. So the closest thing to local for me is Ring FM. That's 104.7 in my area. It started as a local station for Võru, but it expanded. Now their studio is in Tartu, and they're transmitting in Southern Estonia, in Pärnu and Tallinn, although their programming still has that Southern Estonian feel to it. For example, for Tartu region, there are some regional opt-outs in national programs. For example, on public radio, and then on this one talk station, private talk station, Kuku Radio. And for example, program dedicated only to Tartu or something, there is not.
You know, we've seen this happen quite often in countries that were part of the Soviet bloc and even countries that were part of the Soviet Union, like Ukraine, when things changed, the state broadcaster had a very difficult time to compete with commercial broadcasters. The state broadcaster in Estonia, are they well listened to, or has the audience, say, migrated towards more the commercial private stations?
Well, obviously, state broadcast would mean state control, but here in Estonia, it's more of a public model. Financing comes from government, but they are editorially independent. Mm-hmm. But I think Vikerradio, actually, one of the stations in my area, 106.1, has still listening. And also, of course, there is this Jauf station, Radio Cox. It has some, in fact, some pretty interesting programs. And I have listened to it, although generally I don't. But yes, I would say there are maybe one or two programs that are listened. Mm-hmm. Of course, I would listen to Vikerradio when there is a storm or something, because obviously then I would get, of course, the latest news. And if something bad happens, then obviously the public radio is something to turn to.
Right. You just mentioned twice since we've been speaking about the weather in Estonia. What is the weather like?
Depends from the season, but you have to have patience, because, for example, the winter last winter was very long over here, and even we were at our wit's end. At winter, for example, it is either cold or it is stormy.
It sounds like Canada, where I'm from in Montreal, the winter was either storm and minus 20 degrees or snowing.
Well, I share a latitude with Alaska and Canada. I'm 58 north latitude.
Okay.
But of course, I have that influence from the Atlantic, so it makes things perhaps a bit warmer. But yes, so at winter we can see temperatures go even below minus 20, even minus 30. And then, of course, we can have these intense cyclones. But sometimes it can be warm too. There have been, for example, a few years when the ski marathon here in Estonia had been cancelled due to lack of snow. There was in fact a time when, you know, there would be a storm and the power would go out in my home. Now it stabilized quite a bit after a severe thunderstorm really knocked out the power for a few years ago. And after that, I haven't had much of a power issues during bad weather, probably because anything that could cause outages was blown away. But in these cases, I would, for example, if it was dark, I would turn on the battery powered radio, listen to short waves or medium waves, because then there would be no electric noises. Yes, and hear quite a bit of stations. And in fact, I still hear quite a bit of stations.
You know, I was telling that to somebody recently. Last summer, we had a really bad typhoon, and I was out without power for about 12 hours. And I was telling somebody, I said, during that 12 hours, I heard stations that I normally would not hear in Taipei because there was no power.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I live in the countryside, so the electrical noises issue here is far less. But obviously, it is still there. For example, when I try to pick up the VOA radio transmissions that took place in the weekends, I would unplug some of my stuff to get as good signal as possible, because electrical noises can be sometimes pretty nasty. But yes, I have heard quite a bit. For example, just over the weekend, I picked up Radio Australia on shortwave. Now, that's a pretty nice feat, at least my opinion. Maybe I haven't simply happened to tune in before, but maybe it's indeed the propagation on HF has been that good in the last few days.
Tarmo, thank you very much for talking to us today.
You're welcome. Anytime.
And I was speaking there with Tarmo Tanilso, a regular contributor to the PCJ Facebook page. If you want to find out the postings that Tarmo does post there, just check it out. Just do a search for PCJ Media and PCJ Radio. You're listening to Media Network Plus. Thank you. Before we get to our next story, I just want to remind you again that PCJ Radio International is returning Sunday, September the 1st from 1330 to 1430 UTC for listeners in Southeast and East Asia on 11835 kHz. That's Sunday, 1330 to 1430 UTC on 11835 kHz. That one-hour transmission includes Focus Asia Pacific with our good friend Andy Sennett and The Happy Station Show. So do tune in. Well, we now go to the Pacific nation of Tonga, because last week the country finally got connected to the high-speed internet. For many years, the internet was provided to the country via satellite, which meant, of course, it was very slow. But now there is a fiber optic cable that connects Tonga's internet traffic to Fiji and then onward to a hub in Sydney, Australia. Geraldine Coutts speaks to the managing director of Tonga Cable, Robert Bulali.
Well, it certainly benefits everybody in Tonga with a faster, more efficient and lower price internet. At this stage, because our connection is through satellite, it takes a lot of time when you want to get into internet to retrieve information or download anything. And also the bandwidth available in the satellite is quite limited. But now with the cable, the bandwidth practically is unlimited compared to demands from the country. Much faster speed and more efficient and reliable.
Now, when it goes live, is it going to go with great fanfare? Have you got many people who have signed on to go live?
That part is actually the responsibility of a system provider, service providers, I'm sorry. We provide a wide wholesale bandwidth to telecommunication service providers in Tonga, and it's their responsibility to retail it and reach to end users. I understand that one of them, TCC, that has signed on the cable, release the capacity immediately. They have announced new packages that would be available to their customers effective 1st of September, but the current customers of TCC should see quite a bit faster speed and benefit from that.
Okay, so let me just understand it. We'll go live this week, but customers won't be able to start using it until September.
No, they will. They will, under the current package, they will be able to use the system, and they are going to get much faster speed at this stage. However, because the price of wholesale has dropped tremendously, that would be reflected from 1st of September.
Now, how have you been able to get this faster cable service into Tonga?
The cable system that we have is part of regional connectivity by World Bank. This is the first phase of that, and we are connecting from here to Fiji and from Fiji to Southern Cross, and it becomes part of the international network because Southern Cross carries our traffic to Australia in Equinix data center and from there goes to the gateway.
Further down the track, what will this enable businesses to do now that they've got this faster cable service?
There will be tremendous benefits to the businesses. Right now, for example, in Tonga, if you try to place an order and go online for supply of equipment for your company, sometimes you have to give up because of the time that you have to wait. Sometimes the internet will tell you it's timed out and it costs you off. It will provide much better access and faster. The businesses can possibly market their products online, especially when it comes to tourism. They would be able to attract more customers probably. And then, of course, it has a lot of other benefits in regards to education, health and other areas.
Tonga, of course, has its fair share of bad weather and cyclones. Will this be able to withstand all of that? And, in fact, will it be able to be used as part of the cyclone warning system?
Absolutely. The cable is under the sea, so it's quite secure. It should not be affected by cyclone or any other weather condition. The building itself where the cable lands is quite solid, is designed for this purpose, and it should be able to continue operation even during the cyclone and after that.
Now, when it does go live, will it go with some fanfare? Will there be celebrations?
Major celebration, yes. We have celebration, official launching that is going to take place, and His Majesty King Tuko VI is going to be present, and he will be officially launching the system. It is a major event for the country. We are very happy that this is finally happening. We have been working on this project for a long time with the support and assistance from government and private sector. All together have been working on this one, and great to see that it's finally coming to fulfillment.
That was the managing director of Tonga Cable talking about Tonga finally getting high-speed internet. He was speaking there with Geraldine Coutts.
You can hear PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news, talk, and entertainment mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher from the App Store. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
Well, this past week, our own Dan Hensley broke a story about the USAF space surveillance radar and how it's being shut down at the end of September. Before we get to this week's propagation forecast, Dan is joining us, and he's going to tell us first a little bit about what this satellite radar does.
Well, formerly known as NAV Spacer, that's NAVSPASUR, the Air Force Space Surveillance Radar transmits 800 kilowatts of continuous wave radio power into an east-west oriented fan beam at 216.98 megahertz. The radar's primary mission is to track satellites and space debris for the U.S. Space Command. It can detect objects as small as 10 centimeters orbiting 15,000 kilometers above the Earth's surface.
Now, you actually reported on the radio propagation section of our website that they're going to be shutting it down at the end of September.
Yes, that's correct. That's because of the U.S. federal sequester going on right now, because the United States Congress failed to come together to meet certain budgetary requirements.
Now, if they shut it down, does it still have the possibility of coming back?
Well, that is a good question, and that would depend on whether or not U.S. Congress can work with each other and with President Barack Obama to approve the necessary budgetary items that need to be in place to operate certain federal programs, and this is one of them.
Now, let me ask you, you just said, of course, they check out like space debris and stuff like that. Is this also used, for example, to check how close meteors are coming to our little planet?
Yes, that would be correct, because as you are aware, this is one of those things that is used to ping those items. So, yes, they can measure how close those items are to Earth, and that would include meteors.
So, Dan, I mean, if they're checking out meteors, and let's say they do away with this system, is this the only one in existence, or do other countries have a similar system?
Well, you know, I'm not sure which countries have what satellites in place. And as far as the United States is concerned, we do have satellites up there, believe it or not, that have a top secret rating. Over the last several years, there have been several satellites launched into space that were rated as top secret. So what those satellites do, what their mission is, what they're looking at, and all of that, nobody really knows except for the properly classified and security cleared people.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm sure this is a story that we're going to be following up. We'll have to see what happens, if they get a budget, if it comes back or not. But let's turn our attention to propagation and what we can expect over the next 7 days.
Well, propagation from August 31st to September 6th looks like this. The 10.7 centimeter flux on August 31st and September 1st will be 90, rising to 100 September 2nd, 105 on September 3rd and 4th, 110 on September 5th, and 115 on September 6th. An A index spiking at 15 on August 31st and September 1st, down 5 points to 10 on September 2nd, 5 on September 3rd and 4th, 8 on September 5th, down to 5 on September 6th. A KP index of 4 on August 31st and September 1st, 3 on September 2nd. On September 3rd and 4th, a KP index of 2. 3 on September 5th, back down to 2 on September 6th. And we're back down to 5 sunspots this week as 18, 23, and 28 pass out of view. 18, 34, 35, and 36 are in view. We see no current threats for solar flares this week. Solar wind flowing from a coronal hole should reach Earth on August 30th to 31st. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thank you very much, Dan. And if you want to find out more information about Dan's propagation forecast, you can always check out www.pcjmedia.com/r Prop. That's R-P-R-O-P. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Now, before we go, I just want to remind you again about our Sunday transmission from 1330 to 1430 UTC, targeting listeners in Southeast and East Asia on 11835 kilohertz. The beginning of that transmission has, first up, Focus Asia Pacific with Andy Sennett, followed then by The Happy Station Show. This week, Bob Zanotti is going to be joining us for a new feature on our Sunday transmissions called The Name Game. And I'm sure that many of you who remember the old Swiss Radio International will remember The Name Game. So do tune in, because you never know what place he'll be talking about. And, of course, what makes it more interesting is that you have to guess where he's talking about. Now, before we go, if you wish to contact us to let us know what you think of the program, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can listen to this program again, as well as all past editions, including this month's monthly edition, which is going to be airing the first transmission at 1 hour UTC Saturday on 9955 kilohertz to listeners in Latin America and the Caribbean. By going to the website for this show, www.pcjmedia.com/media network plus, all one word. I also invite you to check out our Facebook page. Just do a search for PCJ Radio, and you can have a chat with Dan and also Tarmo, who we heard at the beginning of today's program. So until next time, friends, this is Keith Perron wishing you well, saying so long, take care, 73 and 88 to the ladies.